Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Combox Live, where the game lives on, it never dies. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me is my mate, Rob Barron, who you can find at Most So Judge on social media, even if you try. All right then, fellas, what a game we have witnessed. A thriller of a semi-final at the Wankhede between England and India, in which 499 runs were scored across both innings and 36 sixes were smashed. It was a proper run fest on a proper flatty as well. And we were entertained till the very end. What are your thoughts?
Again, it was a stupid ending
to
this game, isn't it? Right? Like, the game, it was so like Dubai bowling the last over was how this game should have ended.
I hated it.
I mean, look, it was an excellent. Oh, he hated it, of course. Rob Barron is heartbroken. But look, Rob, to England's credit, it was an excellent effort in the second innings. Who would have ever thunk that they can even come close to 254, which was a very, very steep target. And ultimately, India only defeat England by a margin of 7 runs. That Harry Brook drop of Sanju Samson must really be stinging our mate Rob Barron right now.
I mean, I nearly broke my camera then because I'm so annoyed by it. I'm really fed up because I said this was going to happen yesterday. It's all going to be decided by people that can't catch. And Harry Brook can catch, and it was really easy, and it was Sanju early, and Sanju got man of the match. And that's kind of the game. I mean, even if, all right, let's say that that ball did not go straight to a fielder and Sanju did his thing and they got the score they got. The Bantam one was crap as well. And Hardik got another couple of sixes after he got dropped. You've got to catch. That's it, right? Axar caught very well. He did drop one, but he caught very well. And he caught Jax, who's the danger man for England in this World Cup by a considerable distance. And that was kind of the game, because if you have set Jax in, right, if he hits that ball to one of the England dozy bastard fielders, then it's six. And on he goes on his merry way, Will Jax. Instead, he swaps for Curran, who was absolutely desperate, who scored, what, 18 off 14. All right, cancel Curran's innings. And let England have 14 balls now with any old clown having a swing at them on that pitch, the best pitch of all time. They're going to get the 24 they need, aren't they? They're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, me and Varun are going to get 24 off 14 on that pitch. Like, it was people say, oh, what a great game, 500 runs, blah, blah, blah. It was such a road. England, like, we can go into why England lost that game from as many angles as you want to go. The fact is, if they'd have caught their catches, they probably would have won. And how many times does this drum have to be banged before somebody hears it?
I mean, look, Sam Curran's 18 of 14 was indeed criminal. And England may have depth in their batting, but their quality in depth isn't great. Will Jax was the guy who had to be there till the end, I suppose, in your assessment. But this Super Chat's assessment is even more spot on because Shreyas mentions that funny that the difference in fielding is why India won today. Absolutely, man. Harry Brook drops a sitter when Sanju Samson is just on 15. Sanju walks away with the Player of the Match award later and he's been phenomenal across two games now, two knockout games for India. And then I think Rob Barron is very correct to point out the Banton drop as well because Pandya was on 13 at that point when Banton drops him. And Pandya goes on a flurry towards the end as well. And then there were a few misfields by England as well, which did cost them. But if you look at India, Akshar Patel ends up taking two catches, but really spiritually three. Because that Will Jax catch is his catch entirely. Shivam Dubey didn't have to do much over there. And the drop that Rob Barron is talking about, I don't even consider that as a drop. Akshar did well to get a hand on that or a finger on that. So he was sensational in the field. And even though Sky had a misfield at one point, at cover, I still feel that this assessment is correct. Ultimately, when the margin of victory is just 7 runs, you can pin this loss for England on the fielding because it was batshit poor, right? The Harry Brook catch, even Brook would have caught it 9 times of 10. And then, yeah, the Banton drop is also kind of valid over here, wouldn't you say, Varun?
Yeah, definitely. It's very funny because India have been horrible in the field in this World Cup so far, right? They've been terrible. And Akshar decided himself that he's just going to take all the catches today.
True.
It was just really funny, right? I like, this is almost the perfect result for us, Behram, because we have England dropping catches and Rob Barron on the show. Like, it could not have worked better for us. right?
I could not have asked for a better trio for today's show, because we've got Varun, who's usually just a shit talker. We've got Baron, who hates dropped catches, and England have lost a big semi-final due to dropped catches. And it's funny because a lot of people were talking about the toss, but I thought this game wasn't even toss-dependent because there was no dew at Mumbai. We hadn't seen any dew at the Wankhede. Whatever you opted to do after winning the toss, I didn't think it made much of a difference, especially on this road of a pitch, right? It was a proper flat deck. England win the toss, opt to field first. India unchanged, but England bring in Overton for Rehan. We expected that. However, Rob Baron, in hindsight, Rehan is probably a better bat than all of those other guys at the death, isn't he?
Well, yeah, if you look, what did Overton get? 2 off 3, and Curran got 18 off 14. So those guys got 19 off 17. And that, honestly, like, again, you can come at Y England loss from lots of different angles. If they do par of death hitting at Wankhede, you know, just normal average people that can swing the bat. I mean, Jofra got 19 off 4. All right, he was facing Jubei. But yeah, they didn't perform at the absolute clutch. I'll tell you where it all stemmed from, right? And this pissed me off at the time, and I'm still annoyed about it. It's very hard to dig Jacob Bethel out after what he did today, because he scored a really, really, really good 100. And some of his shots were fantastic. But don't you dare celebrate when the job isn't done. Don't take your helmet off. Don't stop the momentum. Don't show
your back. Always a horrible idea.
Ground.
I mean,
I don't have any time for that at all. Celebrate when you've won. Don't celebrate because you happen to score 100. Who cares? You're there. There's like, it's David Miller flashback, right? When he was scoring the most pointless 100 of all time. The idea is this game, the only thing that matters is you qualify for the World Cup final. So don't take the steam out of yourself by going, oh, I've done it. I've scored 100. How brilliant. Never mind. Hit the next ball for 6. Do it a couple more times and you're going to win. You're going to chase 250. His innings will be forgotten, that 100, right? If it doesn't feel like it now, but it will be, because it was one of those mental run fests on an absolute road. He scored 100 and England lost. If he scored 100 and England chased 250 against India in the Wankhede, we'd all be going absolutely mental and no one would ever forget it. And coming back off what he did in the Ashes, when he scored one of the best test 100s you're ever going to see, it was that good. Mm-hmm. He could have had like legacy done already if he'd have done that. I think him taking the help, the wheels didn't half come off after that. There's loads of ways England lost this game, but these little things, because they're dumb, all add up. And they don't practice catching enough.
I mean, usually understand, because we know batters are idiots before and after 100. It's been proven. Like, there is numerous amounts of statistical facts to prove that up, right? You never do that in a chase, Baron. I mean, if it was even like 20 of 10 needed, I'd fair enough, give it to him. He would have easily gotten 20 of 10, right? But you don't do it when you're like 35 of 11, right? You're not guaranteed to win at that point.
I can understand Rob Barron's sentiment and I get the logic what you guys are trying to portray over here. But he is a 22-year-old. He has scored a big 100 in a final and he didn't do much wrong, right? Jacob Bethel was my player of the match. I think he does spiritually win the player of the match award.
It's not a major flaw, right?
But then again, I don't want to kind of slander him at all today, because what he produced was incredible. I thought it was the best innings of the game. A 19-ball 50 and ultimately ends up with 105 of 48. It was a 45-ball ton as well. And the way he took down Varun Chakravarti, 6-6-6, the first three balls that Varun bowls in this game. First over long off, then over long on, or maybe I flipped those. It might have been long on and then long off. And then he reverse sweeps Varun Chakravarti for 6. Long off, reverse sweep for six.
Goes back and he hits it over long on.
Yeah.
Then he bowls hits him over long off.
I think just because of that innings, we had a contest. So he was my player of the match. And you don't often score a 45-ball ton in a big semi-final. We all know he's talented. Maybe his fielding needs a bit of work. But he paced his innings brilliantly as well. 19-ball 50, 45-ball ton. And ultimately, his 105 of 48 was box office spectacular. And I don't want to take much away from him, even if, he shouldn't have celebrated.
The funny thing is, I think almost all of us were saying before this game, he should be dropped for Overton because he didn't do anything this tournament so far. Well, and he proves all of us wrong, right?
He wasn't bad in the group stages. And one thing that Jacob Bethel is really good at is rocking back and, you know, pulling the spinners or cutting the spinners. That's his strength. And I thought having a left-hander in there was also a good call. Look, he definitely justified the faith that England have in him. But of course, he's young in his career. Baron's not wrong when he says that this could have been legacy defining had he pulled this off. Chasing down 254 versus India at the Wankhede in a big semi-final, that too when you're 22. You kind of start off with a heads, or not a heads up, but a, what do you call that thing? The words have lost me. A jump start? No. You get the drift. No, he would have started off.
Yeah. He had a flying start. Yeah, he got off to a fly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. But like he would have had like this pedestal on which he would have started his career, right? Look, again, I think it was a spectacular knock, but ultimately, what? Will Jacks was England's second best batter. And when you talk about the third best batter, you're looking at Jofra or Joss Butler, who didn't look good today. He was coming down the track, swinging for the hills, missing. Ultimately, it was Bethel or bust, and he did his part. I would say he did his part.
He played great. His fielding's been rubbish this World Cup, and he's a brilliant fielder. Yep. So England need to look at that and practice and get somebody in that can make these young men concentrate when there's a World Cup final on the line. Like, that's a big enough prize to focus the mind in my head. You know, if you're playing in with your mates in the park and, you know, somebody walks past, it catches your eye or whatever, get it, right? It doesn't really matter whether you drop the catch or you're not concentrating. But England misfielded like four times in that first innings, you know, for three or four runs, right? Fine margins these games, World Cup final on the line, and Harry Brook dropped an absolute dolly. And so I watched that catch a few times because people say, oh, it's the lights or, oh, you know, anyone can drop a catch. Bollocks. It was really, really easy, but he got himself in a horrible position. His left leg is cocked, his right leg is straight, and both feet are off the floor when he's catching it. Zero need to do that. Glenn Phillips dropped a catch, which could have been important, which ultimately wasn't the other day, because he decided to dive when he didn't need to. He had both feet off the floor to catch a ball that could have been taken dead easy around throat height with both hands, and he dropped it and England lost. England did loads of shit wrong in that game. I think tactically in the chase, they made a few missteps. Like Butler did his best, but when you're that far out of form, I mean, it was a horrible watch that innings, wasn't it? He played one good shot and he faced 17 balls and the other 16 balls were disgusting. He got a he got a four away that was all right, but the six was good and the rest was awful.
That catch was also really, really good by Akshay.
Four, right?
Yeah. They're very lucky for inside edge for four. But that catch of Akshar Patel was also spectacular. But the parried catch to Shivam Dubey was just out of the world. And I do agree, it is a game of fine margins. And England had a lot more misfields than India. The only Indian misfield I can remember is the Sky misfield.
Yeah, that cost four.
Right? And I wouldn't even count the Akshar drop. It's three catches as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, as far as Akshar is concerned, he took three catches for me. And I mean, those two drops by England literally are the difference, right? Sanju goes on to play a worldy knock once again. He was gone for 15. Brook drops a sitter. And then, yeah, even the Banton drop that came in towards the end, Pandya did score some runs. He was on 13 when he dropped him. So ultimately does come down to those things. But there's this fun super chat by Shreyas over here. Mm. He asks, had England won, is Bethel's 100 better than Finn Allen's 100?
If he won, yes.
It's still right up there.
Yeah. 1,000,000% Bethel because England were like 50 to 1, 2% to chase that when Bethel came in.
Yeah.
And New Zealand were like 65% to knock the runs off or whatever they were. So it would have been so much better. And I'm so annoyed that it's not Bethel's fault that England didn't win by any stretch of the imagination. And it is probably, you know, being nitpicky to say he shouldn't have celebrated his turn. He did get single run out the next three balls after he did that. But all the other guys have got blood on their hands here. I mean, what's Harry Brook doing? You know, what was his innings today?
That's true.
Yeah, Harry Brook was, 7 off 6 and a dropped catch? That was poor stuff. Also, Will Jacks bowling the last over was a bit rich as far as captaincy is concerned. I think that was a bit stupid. Prithvi over here, though, has a super chat on the Bethel celebration. He says, Sanju after 50 versus the West Indies took his guard again, saw the first ball off and started playing again. Look, he's a young gun. He's done something highly unlikely. He probably believes he will get England over the line. That's why I'm just kind of throwing my weight behind Jacob Bethel. I do think it's a bit nitpicky, but it's not like I don't understand what Rob Barron is trying to convey over here. No, I do see logic in his arguments.
I don't think the run rate was ever out of control for India.
Yes.
So they were always, they looked like they're always going to chase it down, right? Like this was, I think, a bit different I want to say, like, it is very nitpicky, don't get me wrong. And I'm pretty sure Rob comments will absolutely slaughter the both of us.
Good.
It's okay. I don't care.
I don't care today. I'm too angry.
I'll be saying what you said, right?
Rob Barron is like Arsenal fan TV for English cricket. That's what Rob Barron is. So I expect him to be high on emotion.
I don't want to be that guy, right? I don't want to be somebody that's just wheeled out to moan all the time. But, I mean, Joss didn't cost the game. He did chew some balls. I get why England picked him. I think his innings was pretty predictable. I'm surprised he scored 25. You know, I thought he would have got less. But at least he tried to whack it. But if he didn't try to whack it, it would have been 12 off 12, which is what he was. He did try and whack it, and he was 12 off 12. He's just disgustingly out of form. It takes a very strong coach to bin Joss Butler for a World Cup semi-final. You know, he's a great, an all-time great at a game. Sure, he's in shit form. Abhishek doesn't look like he's in very good form. Yeah. England decided to go with him. I don't think that's a bad call. I think they got the innings they kind of expected.
This was just the wrong game for him to come back into form, isn't it, Rob? Like, if this was a 175 chase and he had time to, let's say, build an innings and finish 80 or 52 and win them the semi-final, right, that would be almost the perfect comeback for him, right? But when they're chasing 250, you can't have time to get
and it did that's the thing, right?
First 10 balls, didn't it?
Yeah.
First 10 balls. Also,
great lines by India as well in that period. You had to ball outside off, and Hardik nailed it to him, especially. I thought.
I mean, we'll talk about the bowlers, but like, look, it was an incredible effort by England to get close to 254 because that's a very, very steep task. And I think it was, you know, phenomenal that they even got close. And I thought the game was done. We were asking people on the Pro Sports Live to make us play games on Super Chats, but then this game came alive. We were like, okay, pause the Super Chats. We want to watch this contest. And it was a brilliant contest. Anyway, what was that super chat that went away just now? Did Rob answer it?
Which super chat?
Yeah, there was a super chat on over here. I just didn't pay attention to it.
It's about Butler costing England the game. Which he didn't.
Yeah. So Abhi said that he thinks Butler costed England the game. I don't agree with that. I think if anything, Butler looked better today than he is all tournament, and he wasn't really good today either.
I mean, in a 250 chase, if you don't play at a good rate, everyone's costing the game at that point, aren't they? Like if India lost, we'd have said Sky and Abhi cost them the game, right?
I suppose. But for me, Abhishek is the only weak batter in that Indian batting card. Even Sky gets 11 off 6. It's not a very, very poor failure. It's just a failure compared to the rest. But Abhishek Sharma, I don't know if it's a loss of form, a loss of muscle after he's fallen sick, or he's just developed a weakness against off-spin, right-arm off-spin. Because Salman Ali Agha, Aryan Dutt, and now Will Jacks have dismissed him, who are all off-spinners in the power play. He scores 9 of 7. He's the only batter who failed today for India. I'm still not dropping him, though. He's got to play the final.
I mean, there's about 75 super chats that we'll probably get to most of them that are like, you have to drop Abhishek and Chakravarti for the next game. It's like the phrase we always keep using, Rob, is upping the volatility. When you're the favorite in a final, you do not do that, right? That's precisely what you don't do.
Yeah.
No, the fact that Sanju's absolutely nailing it, really good innings by Kishan today, by the way. That's kind of completely forgotten. He got 39 off 18. I think, I said at the time, Abhishek shouldn't have played at the start because he was clearly ill or there's something wrong with him. Yeah. And when he goes naught, 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 and you're like, you know, dragging him out of his hospital bed to score a duck, it does him no favours at all. Maybe he's ill, maybe whatever. But there's no, like, Tilak can bat 7 for this cricket team. Tilak Varma can bat number 7 and they've still got Axar behind him. I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's not fair, is it, for the rest of the team?
I mean, if you think about it, we'll come to Sanju later properly, but Ishan Kishan, 39 of 18. Shivam Dubey, who was correctly promoted up the order to bat. Saad and I had a disagreement on that, but I was like, no, this is the right call because you want to bat spin, and Shivam Dubey took down Adil Rashid, who was having a good day till then. He scores 43 of 25. Not as good as Ishan, but still good. And then Sky is 11 off 6. Pandya is 27 off 12 after he was dropped on 13, mind you. And Tilak is 21 off 7. Tilak Varma's little blinder really did make a difference because for the longest time, guys, England were actually ahead of India as far as runs are concerned in the chase, right? If you compare the phases, India was 67 for 1 in the power play. England, 68 for 3. One run better, but 2 wickets worse. But England have to be bowled out if you want to win against them. So that was fine. 10 over mark, India were 119 for... 2, and England were 119 for 4. So similar amount of runs, but 2 wickets worse. At the 15-over mark is where this gets really, really interesting, fellas. India were 177 for 3, and England were 185 for 5. They were ahead, and they were constantly ahead till the last two overs. And then ultimately, India, of course, had the better death over batting in this game. They ended up with 253 for 7. So they end up scoring what? 76 runs in their last five overs, whereas England score 61 runs in their last five overs. They also lose two wickets, so they end up at 246 for 7. I think that was the difference ultimately, apart from the drop catches, the death overs batting. You've got to give it.
And England, as I've said quite a lot, are probably the best team in the world at death over batting. And so that's disappointing as well, because today, India's number 7 scored 21 off 7. And England's number 7 faced twice as many balls as that, and he scored 18. And England lost by 7, right? So they didn't show up when it mattered. I think tactically, England were quite bad bowling changes. I mean, I can't blame... You can't give Jofra a pass for the drop, because he was awful. Like, he bowled like an absolute drain. And, you know, I'm not going to bang on again about how the ECB ruined him earlier. Fact of the matter is, he turned up in a World Cup semi-final and bowled as badly as he's ever bowled. Even the bad Jofra doesn't bowl like that. And he just relentlessly bowled terrible balls. And so England couldn't go. They tried it. And I was saying at the time, wasn't I, like, you've got to go Jofra here because England need two wickets now. Bang, bang. And they did, and he got whacked. I don't think they should have gone Rashid for his third to Jubei, because that's what Jubei literally came in for, was to just murder spin. That was what his job was. So you bomb him with pace, don't you, early in his innings, and try and get him out or try and dot him up a bit. Instead, they go loop. Oh, look, a nice loopy slow one for him to get the long levers under and belt 30 rows back. And then Rashid's confidence shot to shit. Archer's confidence shot to shit, because they kind of shuffled the pack wrong, drop catches, like loads of dozy stuff from England. And the fact is, look how much talent England have got. When they make all these mistakes, they do loads of stupid shit, they concede 250, and they lose by 7 against India away in a World Cup semi-final. Like, they just need some brains. Just turn the brains on. Get someone in charge that, you know, can look at what's happened there, can pick these three or four things out that if England would have done properly, they would have got an extra run here, an extra couple there. India would have got a couple less there, and all of a sudden England win the game, right? That's what you're meant to do at the top level, these elite coaches and these, you know, it's not vibes, it's not golf, it's not beers. It's do the little things that mean that you have the best chance of winning. And England fucked all of them up, and then they lost. How many more times?
Well, it is a game of fine margins, and England did make the more mistakes in the field, even with the bat, because it's just a lopsided batting innings, because Jacob Bethel is just phenomenal, right? And Jax is the second best. I mean, look, they will rue this. Harry Brook might not get any sleep tonight, because he's going to catch that with his eyes closed most days and completely makes a meal out of that. Yeah, it's unfortunate for England, but they can at least hold their heads high that they gave it a proper whack. And coming close to 254, I think that on its own deserves a standing ovation. The crowd did give Bethel a standing ovation, and it was a really, really good game to watch live, wasn't it? Generally, I'm not for proper flat decks. I think they kind of take the sting out of the game, but this was top-tier entertainment. Mm. And there we have it. Shivam Mishra with a very fun super chat, a very generous one as well. I think, I don't know how strong the Hong Kong dollars are, but he says, close game, but a shit
it's
game.
10.
This is some it's cricket like 07. Oh, is it it's 4 quid? Oh, that's not.
Yeah, thank you.
Then anyway. Anyway, but still, thank you so much for your money. Shivam Mishra says, close game, but a shit game. This is some cricket 07 spam button nonsense. No 8-year-old is going to want to be a bowler if this continues. This is a very normal IPL game in recent times. We didn't expect the pitch to be this flat. I thought there'd be some spin on offer. Originally, I was thinking, okay, India have gone unchanged. They maybe could have brought in Kuldeep because England suck versus spin. But ultimately, it's the right call to play Arshdeep in this game, I feel, in hindsight. But I don't think it was a shit game, man. It was really, really top-tier entertainment.
It's also the first of this sort of game we had this World Cup, right? Like, if this was like in the IPL, like, I understand if we have like three or four of these, it gets exhausting. But this was the first high scoring game we've had this World Cup. I think it's also he's right about the video game stuff, though. And I think it happened in the best way. There's a couple of shots we saw today, which I still don't understand how that happened. There was a Tilak 6 and there was a Will Jacks 4, right? Which he hit over, extra cover. I still don't understand how he hit that.
It was like a checked four, wasn't it? That somehow went.
I was like, oh, is that? Is he hit that straight to the full fielder? And it was like nearly went for a 6. I'm like, I don't know how that's happened.
My favorite boundary of the game was the Hardik Pandya uppercut. Would you call it? What would you even call that? It was a shimmy.
That was his third ball.
That's the.
It was a literal shimmy.
Didn't he go dot dot? First start was it and just went. Like,
yeah, it just went,
yeah. It's so it's chilled as well. Yeah,
there's a no look uppercut yet.
That was the best looking shot of the game, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, like Baron says, if you get one of those at World Cup, it's amazing. You know, the 250 yeah. nearly chase, 500 runs we had there, 254, 246. One of them at World Cup's great. And I do want to see players going toe to toe when it's an absolute mega road. I do want to see that. I want to see who the best hitters are and how they hit and where they score and all that. It's great. And Bumrush can still emerge as a mega, mega threat. And he was different gear again. I think England respected him slightly too much at the end when he came on and they were just, Curran was just going, well, I know that you're going to bowl a Yorker. So what I'm going to do is my clever plan here when we need 18 and a half and over is to take singles. Right. That's dumb, isn't it? You know, you've got guys that can whack behind you if you're Curran. Curran has to try and hit him there. And Curran just went wild. You know, what we're going to do here, right, is we'll let the rate go up to 19 and over for the last two overs. And then some other poor sock can do it.
Well, you've got to have a go. Sam Curran had full tosses to work with and he gets out on a full toss as well. That's not Hardik's wicket. He gifts that wicket to him, right? But anyway, we had a super chat before this by Soham who said it was a tactical masterstroke to have Dubey promoted to four, which I agree with. He took down Adil Rashid, which was a very crucial battle to win at that point. Also, request to whoever's helping us, Muku or Ishit, whoever, can you get rid of the super chats once we've taken them? Because they're a lot. We'll have to get through a lot of super chats.
I'm doing the super chats. I am getting rid of them.
You're doing super chats. Just get rid of them as well. Unstar them. Shravan Shetty says, to be fair to Sam Curran, he faced eight balls against peak Bumrah for 10 runs, but on the flip side, he was the one who pushed Bethel to celebrate the 100. I think it was a poor knock. I'm not going to defend Sam Curran's knock. 18 or 14 in that sort of situation. Poor.
I have the power of hindsight and the, what you call, I'm very intent build, but I feel like a 0 of 1 versus Bumrah would have been better than 10 of 8.
Yeah, honestly.
100%. 100%. Right, let's this over, right? Sorry. The England needed 45 from three when Bumrah bowls, okay? Uh-huh. Sam Curran's on strike, and Bumrah, as you could probably expect, bowled a really good Yorker first ball, and Sam Curran blocked it. So that's a dot, okay? So now the run rate's gone up again, and then Bumrah thought, I know what I'll do, I'll bowl the exact same ball, right? Because that's all I need to do against Curran, and Curran blocked it. And, all right, he had a go, I think. It says here on the commentary, he swiped across the line, and he got it to long on. So another single. Bethel gets Curran back on strike. That's when he got the full toss and he missed it. He got two from the full toss.
Yeah.
Then single, like they literally saw Bumrah off. And so by the time that over is finished, England need 19.5 and over. And it doesn't matter who's bowling when you need 19.5 and over. You have to then be perfect. And Bethel hits the six. Bethel hits the six. Curran tells him to celebrate, takes all the sting out of the game. Then, oh, it's just disgusting. And then Curran gets out. Like, and then you're like, England weren't. It was just so shit.
Yeah. There's another super chat on this by Prithi Raj. Sorry. My apologies, guys, if I'm botching the names.
Sent the same thing twice. Yeah.
Okay, he said the same thing twice. He says, Sam Curran completely botched it with 18 or 14. We agree. Can't afford to strike at 129. He's always striking at 129, though. That's the odd part.
Yeah.
Bumrah and Pandya bowled leg stump full tosses and played them like tests. Even Butler scored faster at 147. Even Butler. Yeah, I mean, like I said, Sam Curran had full tosses to work with. He just couldn't get them away. And maybe Rob, I know this is easier said in hindsight, but would it have been more useful if England upped the volatility and sent someone in like Jofra ahead of the rest, Archer, to just kind of slam 2-3 sixes? Yeah? We know, well, Archer can hit them. He showed us he can hit them, even though that was versus Dubey.
Why not? Because Curran versus Jofra from a standing start, if you say you need to hit this ball for six, you get one ball, one go, and you haven't batted yet. You know, it's your first ball. Who would you prefer, Curran or Jofra? I think I take Jofra there, just about.
Yeah.
And if you're going, well, we've still got Curran and Overton, right? And if you're going to pussy out and block, you're going to block Bumrah in the 18th, then fine. Don't do that tactically. Don't do that. If Curran can't do it, if he's not grown up enough to think, well, I need to have a swing here because the other guy's 100 not out, and he can easily get 15 and over off the last two because one of them's got to be bowled by somebody who he can murder, and the other one's Hardik, who, you know, the 100 not out guy's got a very good chance against. Then send someone else to do it. Let Jofra go, right, I'm going to try and face all six against Bumrah. I'm going to take him down. Because stranger things have happened in cricket matches. The guy that's got the most runs ever in an over in Test match cricket is called Jasprit Bumrah, right? How is that possible? Because he had a whack against Stuart Broad, right? Cricket's a stupid sport and it's crazy. But if you definitely block, if you definitely go, okay, we're going to see him off and let the run, when the run rate's 15 when he comes on, that is not a tactical option to play him out. Because then you need 20. of the next over. And if you don't get 20, you need 28 of the over after that. It's not smart. It's just really, really dumb. So if Curran can't be asked to have a swing at Jasprit, let someone else have a go that is willing to do it.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's just get into more Super Chats. But actually, before that, let us take a short break. You guys are watching Combox Live with Behram, Rob, Baron and Varun. And we will be back very, very shortly. Go nowhere.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumpa turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to Combox Live. You guys are with Rob Baron, Behram and Varun Alvacondanese. And we are reviewing India's thriller of a 7-run victory versus England in the second semi-final at the Wankhede. Before we move on to the Super Chats, I just realized during the ad break that we haven't talked about Sanju Samson yet. So much has happened in this game that we actually never even came
answer
to him.
Answer them and he in deserves... the Super Chats. There's so many.
Are there Super Chats on Sanju?
Of course there's going to be Super Chats on Sanju.
I haven't seen any. Anyway, let's just talk about him whilst you find some Super Chats on Sanju. I thought he was incredible once again. He looked absolutely effortless. He's a technically skilled batter, so he'll play conventional shots and he'll make it look super easy. He has been almost flawless in the two games that he's played, back knockout games back to back. Initially, 97 off 50 unbeaten versus the West Indies. He literally knocks the West Indies out on his own. And today, even though he's dropped on 15 by Harry Brook, and that's the only... the second false shot he scores across these two innings. One he gets out on and one he should have gotten out on, right? The Brook drop. He still ends up scoring a 26 ball 50, which is exactly what he managed the other day versus the West Indies. It was a 26 ball 50. And then he looked classy as hell, ends up with 89 of 42 and almost flawless. A control percentage of 88% in the previous game and 86% in this game. Player of the match as well. He wasn't even on anyone's T20 World Cup bingo card because Ishan Kishan started to go berserk versus the New Zealand side in the series that preceded this tournament. And look at Sanju Samson. If he goes three in a row, he's my player of the tournament, guys.
Shame it's not Will Jacks, isn't it? I mean, it's not far away. You know, if Axar doesn't pull that off, and that was a wonderful piece of fielding, right? You can, you know, when you slag off all the bad pieces of fielding, you have to talk about the good ones. That was a wonderful piece of fielding. And his other catch was great as well. The one over his shoulder, that was great because he took out all the panic. So what you're meant to do with those ones that are going, and it's going away from you really high, is you do all the hard work with your feet first, right? So you do the running, you run fast to make sure that you don't have to do a massive long dive afterwards. And then, but he always tracked the ball with his eyes the whole way and he saw it into his hands, right? He made a really tough chart. They're really difficult then. He made that look easy. And then the one on the rope, that was different gear as well. To be fair, I don't know whether Jubei was just standing there because, you know, his feet are set in concrete at the best of times. I don't know whether he was just happened to be standing there in his, you know, two buckets full of concrete or he ran. I don't know. I haven't seen it back. But if Jubei actually ran with him, that's really good as well to be there for him. Because if he doesn't, there's no way Axar can stay within in the ground, is there? There's no way he can stay within the boundary rope. So Axar's bit of that was great because that was a tough chance. But for Jubei to be there with him, you need someone there to complete that catch, right? So Jubei gets some credit as well. I don't know whether he was just stood there or whether he made a move to get there. But that ultimately was the difference. And it was wonderful fielding from India, who have been largely shit, but if out fielding in this World Cup, right? If I'm the coach of a team, though, I don't really care if you're shit at fielding against Namibia in the group or against, you know, whoever. I don't really care. You know, if you don't bring your best fielding performance against the USA, I'll be annoyed, but it's okay in the grand scheme of things because we're going to win anyway, probably. But when it's in the World Cup semi-final and you're playing on the roadiest road that anyone's ever seen, this is the time where I want you to be your best at fielding. And India were today, you know, one did go straight through Sky, but India were different gear in the field and England were absolutely atrocious. And, you know, India go and play in the World Cup final and England don't. Sanju, though, magnificent. Magnificent again.
And I wouldn't take anything away from him because he's, what, gone at a high 80s control percentage in two knockout games, and he wasn't even in India's plans. He's literally a last-minute sort of inclusion. But then again, it comes down to the Harry Brook drop catch, even more than the Banton one, because if Sanju was dismissed for 15 and India lost two wickets in the power play, surely they would have been a bit more cautious, and that could have been the difference in the end, guys. So it really is.
Different batting order. Would have been a different
batting order. Would have been a different score.
Because Jubei doesn't get the full license to come in and hoof sixes from ball one at number four, does he? It's probably Tillack scratching about for a bit against like he has, or Sky has been scratching around. Mm-hmm. It probably is. You know, if England go bang at the start and get rid of both of them early, this is why drop catches are so important, because that, like you say, Barron, like, and India may well have scored 220 if they dropped, if they caught Sanju then. And everyone thinks 220 is great, but 220 wasn't enough on that deck, was it? It really wasn't. You know, hindsight, like 220 is not enough.
True. I mean, even without due, 220 was not going to be enough. So it is really incredible that we've witnessed what we've witnessed. 499 runs and 36 sixes, right? But anyway, let's move on to the Super Chats, because we've got so many of them. Guys, just a heads up. Please do not spend 5 minutes on every Super Chat, because then we'll be here forever. Okay? let's make this quick. Andy B says, a moral World Cup to go with Baz's two moral Ashes wins. You know, it's a moral loss for Rob Barron because England have lost you two dropped catches. That's what's really happened here. Okay, let's move on. KKB says, player of the match is the ground staff. FKRS made a road instead of the pitch. Oh, okay, fuckers. Yeah, just spell it out then, buddy. I'm not generally a massive fan of flat decks, but because this was a one-off and we haven't seen this consistently during the T20 World Cup, I'm completely fine with it. We've got some really top-tier entertainment today. Broty99 says, what are we supposed to do about Varun Chakravarti's medium-pace half-trackers? And there's a follow-up super chat over here. Koshal Talpadi says, who comes in for Varun Chakravarti, Kuldeep or Siraj? Guy is basically unbowlable at this point, dominates bilaterals, but shits his pants when World Cup comes around. Look, I think you guys are being a bit too harsh on Varun. Yes, he goes for plenty of runs, but it was an absolute road. And Bethel just takes him on. First three balls go for sixes, right? All three of them. I'd still play him. I wouldn't drop him.
I wouldn't pick Kuldeep at Ahmedabad. I don't think the pitch suits slow spinners who bowl full. Siraj is very interesting and very rogue, but because Hardik's bowling very well in the power play, right? If Siraj comes in, I guess it also like increases your chances of early wickets, and India have usually been pretty shit at getting early wickets. So I like Siraj for him more than I think I like Kuldeep for him, if it makes sense.
Yeah, no way am I dropping. Who's got the most wickets for India this World Cup? By three.
True.
Chakravarti has. And he's got a wicket every 12 balls. His economy is 8 point something. Wicket every two overs. He had a horrible pitch for him today, and he got met because of the game circumstances. A really talented batsman murdered him. And when you bowl what Chakravarti bowls, that's going to happen every now and again. Like when you're bowling on a sheet of tarmac, it's going to bounce up sometimes and be there to hit, and he got hit. And that's the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like anyone can get hit on a pitch like that. He's got 13 poles in this World Cup. You want to bin him now for the final?
Nope.
If it was on the same pitch, I kind of get it, right? If they're wheeling that one out again, fair enough. You go, this isn't your one, mate. You know, but you don't want to damage the guy's career by playing him in a World Cup. He gets 13 poles, and then you say he can't play in the final. This is the sort of thing that can send a spinner like him into the depths of despair, isn't it?
You don't want to just send in either of Siraj and Kuldeep now to play a big final in a World Cup where they've played, one or two games tops each. Siraj has definitely, I think, played only one. And I think Kuldeep has not played more than two. Might even just be the one versus Pakistan Colombo.
Did Siraj only play the first one?
He only played the first one. And I can't... Yeah. Did Kuldeep play another game after the Pakistan game?
No, he played one. He got three, didn't he? Three for 29.
So, I mean, those guys have just played a game each. You trust Varun at this point. I know he's gone for runs, but we all know he's quality. And he is still the highest ranked bowler in this format, isn't he? Varun Chakravarti. Pretty sure he is. If not, then Bumrah probably. I do not keep up with the rankings, but I would assume he's high up there.
If he's not the Bumrah, guy with,
That guy with M with the super chat says, Jacob Bethel's knock was better than Sanju's and he should have been player of the match, followed by Akshar's safe hands today. I do agree with that. I'm with you on this one.
I agree.
That guy with M. Yeah. I think Barron will agree as well. Rob, did you make any money today?
I did okay. Nothing to write home about. It would have been good if England chased it. But yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
All right. Prudvi over here says, as a Barca fan, I used to say we have Messi and you don't. And as an Indian cricket fan, I say we have Bumrah and you don't. That is spot on. On this sort of a road, the sort of polling performance, the Jasprit
Bumrah, I only believe in Jassi Bhai.
You know? Yeah, we all believe in Jassi Bhai, man. He was spectacular today with his Yorkers, with his cutters. He removes Harry Brook with his very first delivery, right? And that was the spectacular catch by Akshar, actually. That wasn't Butler, that was Brook. And then in the one power play over, he takes a wicket and concedes 7 runs. On this sort of pitch, 1 for 33 overall are goated figures. He was the best bowler on the day. No one can contest that. No chance. Okay. Tejas Kaushik says, Gambhir's India lives and dies by the sword. Who would have thought that India wins it by Dubey doing a Mitchell? I thought that a lot of us were thinking along the lines that maybe Akshar doesn't bowl the final over and Dubey does, but they needed enough runs to defend. And ultimately, they had 30 of them. Damn, these guys have lost all their words. It's just me ranting on now. I am Abhishek says, I think Sky should have been braver and tried an off-spinner in the sixth over when Bethel came in. That would have shifted the momentum, could have been match over. Bethel is good against spin, guys. He can rock back and cut, he can rock back and pull. He can slog sweep as well.
No, but who's the offie? Tilak.
Who is the offie?
He's the only offie who's playing, yeah.
He didn't have that option.
That's not on. Yeah.
No.
Okay, Washington wasn't playing.
Not every team can have a Will Jackson, guys.
Wait, I think it's this one.
Upamanyu Sen Gupta says, Varun Alvakonda is a better bowler than Varun Chakravarti. Now, seriously, does Varun and Varun and Abhishek continue? Absolutely, yes. For me, they both play in that final.
That, right? Yeah.
You can afford it with Abhishek. When you've got a batting lineup that's as good as India's is, Abhishek will not chew up loads of balls and lose you a game.
Yeah.
He might get out quick. That's all right. You can afford it. You know, India still absolutely smoked it after he got out today. But if he comes off, you're in big trouble because if he'd have faced the balls that Sanju would have faced today, then we'd have been talking about 300 being scored in the first innings.
I mean, I was saying that in the group chat, right? I think it's as much as I love Sanju, he doesn't have that top gear that Finn Allen,
the freak show gear. Yeah,
the freak show gear.
I mean, he's still struck at what, close to 200 or today over 200, right? It was 89 or 42 the other day.
He maintained the 200 strike rate. I love Sanju, but he's not those guys, right? He's not that level of freak.
Sure, he's not that level of freak, but for a guy like Sanju to even strike at 200, he's not a 200 strike rate player either. We've seen enough of him over the years, and this
is in T20Is, I think. He's definitely
in T20Is, perhaps. Yeah, you might be right.
He can bang, but he can't go into the turbo, oh my God, he's going to score a six every single ball here, which is what, you know, Phil Annan batted another half an hour yesterday. He got 200. It was nuts what he was up
to. If I am to play devil's advocate over here, he plays largely risk-free, Sanju. Even his elevated shots look risk-free because he's got a good heave on him, right? He's a slappy player in the power play. He gets that ball over the infielders. And I think the 26 ball 50s are not anchoring knocks by any means. From a Pakistan perspective, if you give Pakistan 5 Sanjus, they probably have a good team, right?
Like, I didn't anchor. I said he's not a freak. He's still high in 10, but he's not a freak.
Yeah. Anyway. Jack says, Sanju Samson is a boring pick for player of the match. Should have been Akshar or actually Brook for having the most telling contribution. Didn't feel like an ICC pitch though. Again, fine with a one-off. If this was a repetitive thing in the World Cup that we'd continue to get Rhodes, I would be against it. But this is just one game. I'm fine with it. I think all of us share that opinion. Karthik KN or Karthik N says, Archer's bowling costed England, bowling not good. Dropped catches costed England. Poor death overs batting costed England, especially Sam Curran.
Did Burnt not cancel Archer out in the end?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah, but Archer's the guy for England that, you know, we said before that if England are going to win this, Archer and Rash have both got to turn up and do their thing. Yeah. You know, England would have won the game if they both would have bowled their best today. And
you say that, but English spin has comfortably outperformed Indian once today.
Yeah, but Archer was junk, wasn't he? He was really rubbish.
Archer was horrible.
I love Jofra.
Again,
he was rubbish.
I will play devil's advocate again. He had removed Sanju, guys. That's Harry Brook's fault. Archer got Sanju. Yeah. He has a really good record versus Sanju. Prior to the innings,
seen a very different Archer if he took the catch.
Yeah. Remember, prior to the innings, they showed this little graphic which said that in T20Is, I believe, or maybe it was overall T20s, Jofra has bowled to Sanju like, I don't know, it was like 18 balls or something, but 25 runs for 3 wickets. So he had gotten him again. It's just that Brook completely drops that dolly. So anyway, Abhay says Bumrah should be player of the match, does it again and again. It's not a bad shout. I think Bumrah was spectacular. Oh, there's a Jofra picture for you. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't too pleased with that drop, was he? I can see the logic behind giving Bumrah the player of the match award because those Yorkers and those cutters were straight out of hell and only Bumrah is capable of this on this sort of road. But honestly, I know not a lot of people will talk about him. I thought Hardik Pandya was the second best bowler today. He was really, really good. He removes Phil Salt with his first ball. His power play figures were 1 for 14 in 2 overs, and he ends up with 2 for 38. He bowls that big penultimate over, which does kind of kill off the game because they were never getting 30 of the last,
You know,
so I think Hardik's contribution
is... Yeah, you know how recently we were saying Romario's 52 or 37 is the most explosive 52 or 37 we've seen. I think Arsdeep's 51 and 4 overs might be the most economical 51 and 4 overs I've seen. Like, it does feel like he was better than what those figures suggest.
I was going to talk about how I thought Arsdeep bowled quite well, and then I looked at his numbers and I backtracked a bit. I thought he did pretty well. Who was it was it Sonny Gavaskar that absolutely buried him on commentary when he bowled a wide? You know, there was one that absolutely wasn't a wide, and they gave it as the second wide in a row. And Gavaskar said he's completely lost his confidence. I was like, no, he's aiming at that wide line. He's hit it once and the umpire gave it wide, and he missed it by an inch and the umpire gave it wide. It's not his fault. And the next ball he aimed it there again and he got Will Jacks out, right? That's what he was trying to do.
I mean, look, it's his strength, Arshdeep Singh, to bowl wide Yorkers at the death. That's basically his USP when it comes to death bowling, because with the new ball, he can move the ball in both directions. And I think the power play is still his best phase, but he's done all right. But Hardik Pandya's 2 for 38 is a lot better than it looks like, and he also forces a run out towards the end. And he slams those runs, 27 of however many was it, 12. We've got that guy with them.
Is he a sneaky player of the match candidate, right?
Honestly, he is. Hardik Pandya, for me, is a sneaky player of the match candidate. Absolutely.
But he was dropped.
I think the guy with them is a super chef. Right.
Yeah, the guy with them says, for the consistently poor Abhishek Sharma and Varun, the rest of the nine have made up for it. That aside, Dubey's runouts and hot and cold Arshdeep need fixes. India needs Bumrah and Arshdeep in the power play versus New Zealand. India need New Zealand to not be completely gung-ho. If they get Finn Allen early, this might be game in the final. That's what I feel. And I would not drop those guys. I would play Abhishek Sharma and I would play Varun Chakravarti as well.
Agreed.
Okay. Andy B with another super chat says, Bumrah is unassailably the great white ball seamer. With the skill gap, it shouldn't get this hairy, but Bethel broke Varun. Sky was shitting himself. Yeah, Bethel really
That first over was insane, right? Is he even going to hit 6 sixes here? Like, I was like, it's not unrealistic. I was at one point.
Those 3 sixes were quality. Long on, long off, reverse sweep. Love it. Bumrah is the greatest or the best contemporary all-format cricketer. There's no doubt about that. And I say cricketer, not bowler. Just focus on that.
I think if you want to say ODIs and T20s, he's definitely the best seamer ever, I think.
Yeah, perhaps. He's amazingly good at tests as well.
For both formats, I don't think it's that close, right? If it's ODIs, I think there's people ahead of him. But for both formats, I don't know if there is anyone.
He might end up with a test career in which his average is a sub-20 average. So there'll be that. And RM over here says, fitness is an issue. Yeah. Bumrah the GOAT, so unique. Every ball's a wicked threat. I mean, those Yorkers, I appreciate batters when they keep them out, honestly. That's how good those Yorkers are. And it's not his only weapon. He can bowl those weird as fuck cutters as well.
He's not actually a great wicket threat, though. He's just basically a guaranteed dot bowler single every time, isn't he?
He's everything. He's everything. Yeah. He can bowl dry.
He gets a lot of wickets, but he's not a strike bowler, right? That's what I think wicket threats are strike bowlers.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I have been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about bat. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
You could still end up with wickets trying to be defensive, but Yorkers aren't a defensive length, Varun, so there's that, right? I think in a game where 499 runs were scored in 40 overs, if you have bowled 4 of them and you have taken a wicket for 33 runs, that is goated, so people aren't wrong.
That Shiva is definitely goated, I don't disagree.
Shiva Subramaniam says, Behram, is Rob Barron the Furqan Bhatti of England? Rob Barron is a very smart dude. I know we take the piss out of him all the time, but I rate Rob Barron quite highly. I love his knee-jerk reactions and the way he gets so animated, but that's why we have him on the show. Furqan Bhatti is just call him someone who does constant content on cricket in Pakistan, but it's all emotion-based. It's not intelligent cricket content. And I'm not trying to slander him over here. He can go and produce content with the way... No. He can go and Furqan Bhatti can go do his thing. He makes a lot of money doing that, so I can't really say anything. And you know, he can do whatever he wants to do. That's fine. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. But I just want to say that Rob Barron is way more smarter than you have him as, Shiva. Yeah. Aish Idiot says, what happened to Varun? Surely Kuldeep for the final. Now we're both, or all three of us are team Varun for the final. Another Varun super chat by Prithvi. He says, Varun's decline is generational since the start of the cup. I hope he figures it out soon. Otherwise, it will be very difficult against New Zealand. Varun had such a good record in the group stages that Jared and I picked him for our team of the group stages. He was really good. They could not play him. And players are allowed to shit the bed every now and then. And he came across a red-hot Jacob Bethel today. Bethel takes him down, essentially. Petrol Sniffing Doofus. Now, there's a guy we could be friends with. He says, guys, help me settle an argument with a friend. Which Indian cricketer has had a greater impact, according to you, Virat or Bumrah? Man, Bumrah is actually a better cricketer for me than Virat Kohli. I know this might sound blasphemous, but that's where I'm at.
Depends on the format for me.
But impact is different. Impact means a lot of things. Virat Kohli brought fitness into the game. Fast bowlers started taking wickets for India in Test cricket. They started winning away from home in Test cricket. There's a lot going on over there. So if you talk about impact, maybe Virat did have more impact.
It's a tough question. Greater impact. Yeah. I don't know. That's close.
Yeah.
Bumrah? Don't know. I think you could ask me that in the morning, ask me in the evening. I'll probably give you two different answers. You know what I mean? It's closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Bumrah is a freak. So it's tough to replicate what he does. Virat was more conventional and someone could be inspired by him and recreate what he did or come close to it. I just don't
see
another
freak
like Bumrah.
I'm going to say Virat because Virat fans yell at you more than Bumrah fans do. But
all right, I'll say Bumrah.
Let me give you guys an example. Malinga is the best slinger of all time. We've seen so many slingers after that, but has anyone come close to Malinga's greatness?
No.
If we have another Bumrah with that awkward action, that guy might not come close to Bumrah's greatness either. It's not just the action, right? It's a lot of things.
I thought Pathirana was going to have a go pre-injury. Mm.
Yeah.
I thought he was
hopeful
to be another Malinga.
I was hopeful for Zaman Khan, but he kind of dropped off as well. Anyway, Vidya Prasad says, we'll continue to wait for a word about Bumrah. We've had plenty of words about Bumrah.
We've done that.
I hope that you have been nourished. I mean, you feel fulfilled now. Also, guys, have you checked out my shirt? I had to show it to you guys. Yeah. N43059 says, Abhi and Varun out, Washi and Kuldeep in for final. These are knee-jerk, reactionary sort of comments. Don't go there. Don't change stuff now. Kaushik 990 SRPT says, I love this pod. Thanks for what you do. We do it for you, buddy. Cheers. Much appreciated. Info_no_it says, don't understand how Overton came before Archer. I thought they had the right idea to... No, I think he means to say after the power play, Overton does come before Archer. I think you have some logic there.
Sorry.
When Dubey comes on and Dubey's facing spin in the first over, they do bring on pace after that. But then they bring on Adil Rashid after that. And that probably wasn't the right
Isn't that a batting order question?
I thought it was a batting order question.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
that's, I think that's a batting order question.
Yeah, Overton does come before Archer. You're right. I would have sent Archer ahead of Curran. This is not even a hindsight thing.
That's my question.
I caught it at
the
moment. Yeah, it is a batting order question.
Is this really not a Sam Curran chase?
No, not at all. Sam Curran is the, pinch blocker that we never knew we needed and probably did not need in T20 cricket. But he did win England a World Cup with his cutters, so I'll give him that. Shubham Mishra, haven't we taken this? No, he just always sends us $38 each time. How is it that we in India produce pothole-filled roads regularly, but for the Wankhede we produce an F1 track flatty, for fuck's sake? Won the game, though. I don't know.
It was a bit of a gamble, that, by the way, because... I mean, I may well get pelters for this, but I saw the footage of Gambhir having an enormously long chat with the groundsman a couple of days before the game. And I'm pretty sure that India got the deck they wanted today. And I think Sky said it at the toss, actually. He said, thank you so much to the groundsman for preparing this, this absolute mega road. So if India did want the absolute mega road, which I suspect they do, that's a bit of a gamble against England. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't play
on the mega road against that lot. Like in India, you know, were superbly, you know, performed superbly well, but they definitely left the door open for England to walk through by having a mega road. I think if they played that game again tomorrow and it was a knockout, they wouldn't create the same pitch to give themselves the best chance of winning.
I think the last pitch you curate versus England is a flat deck. Anything else would do. But anyway, they still won the game. And Sky did know this, though. I feel like he had an idea because he wanted to bat first as well. And I still don't think it was a toss-dependent game, though, guys. I think the toss was really, like, not important here. Silly Singh Point says, Sachin the GOAT, but won't argue with Bumrah also. Look, Bumrah is my GOAT for India, but these things are subjective. It's about what you value more. Drick,
I couldn't find any comment from him.
Drickchit edits with just a super chat. Thanks, buddy, for the money. Yeah, I could have asked you a question, but we've got so many today that we probably have to run through this. Yeah. All right, Varun Akavur. How many Varuns do we have?
Been a while,
man? Varun
yeah.
Chakravarti.
It's been a while since Varun, I've seen him. He used to be more regular.
Yeah. Varun Akavur, yeah. Varun Alvaconda, Varun Chakravarti. Who else do we have? The actor Varun who was in the stands. Anyway. Varun Akavur says, reminds me of a high-scoring game of the World Cup semi-final of 2023. Let me remember this.
I have to look it up.
Yeah.
It's New Zealand.
South
Dara
Africa,
Mitchell
Australia?
Oh, no, Mitchell it's India, nuts. New Zealand. India make 399, I want to say, and New Zealand make like 327. Shami take seven. That's the game.
This reminded me of the game where India nearly chased down 250 versus the West Indies. That's what it reminds me of. That was a bilateral, though. Pretty sure that happened. Yeah. Fort Lauderdale. I want to say Fort Lauderdale. Anyway, let's move on. Got Rahul Srinivas.
Nothing again.
Just a super chat, no words. N43059 says Varun bowled the sixth over and Akshar bowled three overs.
No idea. Okay. I think we must have been talking about it at some point.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up. Drickjit edits with another super chat, but no words. Sorry if we've missed your super chat, guys. There's just so many.
It's just so many comments, I think. It's hard. Yeah. You get lost. Yeah.
If you did send something, put in the word super chat, colon, and if your name is Drickjit, then we'll take your question. Shreyas, 1829 says, do RCB go Virat Kohli and Bethel to open because Salt is not in form? No, you go Salt and Kohli and then Bethel at three. Do you guys agree, disagree?
No, I think
they had David and Romario, right?
It's a nice spot to be in, isn't it, if you're RCB. Yeah. They've got Tim David as well, haven't they, as the other overseas bat. And then who do you go? Hazelwood, if he's alive. Romario. Thashara's in their squad, isn't he?
They have to go an overseas seamer. I think the squad doesn't function if they don't go that way.
So it's Hazelwood. Hazelwood, if he's fit, isn't it? He just is.
Hazelwood, if he's fit.
Otherwise.
Yeah, I agree.
Who the hell did they buy? They bought Duffy, right?
Duffy and Thashara.
Duffy doesn't start for me. I'd probably go Bethel. Then I'd go Hazelwood. Tim David, and who else do they have?
Salt.
I'd go Salt. Those would be my four overseas players. Phil Salt was doing all right in this T20 World Cup. He just had a bad game. He was actually pretty decent throughout. Sayak_views says, I felt Tom Banton should have stuck around with Bethel for some more time. He overattacked Akshar and lost his wicket at a crucial juncture. Yeah, after scoring two sixes off Akshar.
I think I said that, right? Yeah.
Perhaps he shouldn't have gone for the slog sweep. Yeah. He gets cleaned up on the slog sweep.
Very good piece of bowling that got him out. I thought very good piece of bowling he slowed it down, and that goes against everything your brain tells you to do, I would imagine, when you're getting whacked. Is you go, right, so what I'm going to do now is slow the ball down so we can hit it further. Most people throw in the quicker one there, don't they, or they throw the anger ball in. And he went, he used his brain, and you know, England are a team that if you do use your brain, you can beat them. You know, in these matchups, I just think you have to take your hat off to the bowler there. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah. I mean,
this
look,
is a super chat.
A lot of ifs and buts, right? Okay. Drickjit edits with that super chat that he's been sending money for. Says, we should talk about Hardik being our clutch performer. He really performs in most important games time and again. His 19th over was critical, one for the win. We did talk about Hardik, man. I specifically mentioned how he was good in both phases. One for 14 in two power play overs, removing Salt, was it, with his first ball? And then two for 38 overall with that penultimate over and the run out in the last over. There's a lot that he does with the bonus runs as well. After getting dropped on 13, he ends up with 27 of 12. So Hardik Pandya's got ice in his veins. And today he had his son in the stands, was it? I think I saw his son around. If that was... Well, I don't know if that was a son or a nephew, but good to see that he had some family around. Rishikesh with a super chat says, the people saying we should drop Varun and Abhishek are the same ones who swear that Kohli won us the 2024 T20 World Cup final. Well, Schrodinger's Kohli, right? Had India lost that game, everyone would have said Kohli lost them that final. Arun Nair. I wonder if he's a brother of Karun Nair. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? That happens a lot in the subcontinent, by the way. Rhyming names. If Varun had a brother, maybe he would have been Karun. Or Varun Alvaconda. But Arun Nair says, Karan, 18 balls, 8 from Bumrah, to be fair. Yes, but lots of full tosses wasted. You cannot forget that.
Again, as you said, it's power of hindsight. It either had to be 0 of 1 or like 20 of 8. It couldn't be 10 of 8. Yeah. And getting 20 of 8 versus Bumrah is almost impossible at this point. So
it should have never been 18 or 14 overall, especially given the game's requirement. No. Just wasn't impressed. Anyway, we've got 14 more. Guys, we're close to the end. Mm-hmm. All right. Sudeep Roy says, if the deck doesn't look like it's spinning, should India drop Varun and go for Siraj in the final?
We've done this.
It depends if Ahmedabad has a black soil pitch or a red soil pitch. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, black soil pitches offer you, skiddy nature and the ball
spin
keeps a bit
more
low.
Normally.
Yeah, and red soil pitches give you extra bounce. If it is a red soil pitch, perhaps they can think of it, but I still think they've played one game each, Kuldeep and Siraj. You don't change things now, man. Ribu Ganguly,
Chak's had a good tournament. Don't drop him.
Ribu Ganguly, we acknowledge your super chat. If you have a question, do the same thing that Drikchit did. Abhi 0893 says, please make a road in the final, no tinkering with the pitch. Is that a wise idea versus Finn Allen in this form? And Seifert as well?
I mind it less against New Zealand, the road, because you can take some of those Kiwi bowlers apart, can't you? And they don't have the depth. India had Tilak at number 7 and Axar behind him. It's ridiculous.
Rob, I don't think I can handle Rachin Ravindra having another good game. Like with the ball.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, right?
I can't deal with it.
The only ways New Zealand can win this game are if they take power play wickets, which Matt Henry is good at. But you never know. Cole McConkey might
Allen
end up taking Abhishek.
Game, fair enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If Rachin Ravindra spins them to a win, I can't handle it.
What if Cole McConkey gets 2 wickets in his first over, Ishan and Abhishek, which could happen? It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Having a good game again.
Both of Quinton de Kock and Ryan Rickleton were McConked. What if Abhishek and Ishan are McConked? You never know. Isaac Koshi with a super chat says, so are you guys saying India is not one bowler short? Rinku in place of Abhishek for sure, but we are still one bowler short. P.S.
So
where is Jared? Jared wasn't available today.
Abhishek at this point, Baram, with the super chats. I think we've every single squad player is replacing Abhishek at this point.
Yeah, it's very sort of classic when it comes to subcontinent fans that just replace the guy who was an anomaly in T20 cricket prior, right? Like, I don't think that's the wise decision. And India might be a bowler short, sure, but all of their bowlers who do play are top drawer. Hardik Pandya is a brilliant fifth bowler option.
They still have 5 proper bowlers, though. I think we usually say when they're bowler short, when the fifth bowler is shit. Like New Zealander, it's like bowler short, right?
Yeah,
like,
New Zealand are 2 bowlers short.
They don't have a fifth bowler. Yes.
New Zealand would be stupid if they do not bring in Kyle Jameson or Jacob Duffy. Probably Jameson because he does well versus India, ahead of Jimmy Neesham in this final. McConkey probably stays, but Neesham has got to go. Bring in a frontline bowler because they're operating with 3 frontline bowlers as things stand. And their 4th and 5th bowlers won them the game versus South Africa. So that's also wild. Okay. Let us move on.
No, we don't know where Jared is.
Jared just said no. We have a poll every day of asking people who's available. Yeah. He said no.
I think Jared said he hates Rob too much and doesn't want to do a pod with him.
I think that's fair.
Jared just hates all Robs. Robs, Robbies, he's
and
not
he's
a big
fan. And
he's
sick and tired of Behram and me as well. So I think there's a bunch of reasons he's not here.
Subhajit Deen says, kudos to Jacob Bethel for an excellent innings. The 16th and 18th over by Jasprit Bumrah and the 19th by Hardik was the turning point. Agreed. But then Sam Curran also takes some responsibility in completely shitting the bed. We did praise all of those guys, though. Jayesh Yadav says, Dubey's contributions with the bat are going under the radar. No, we complimented Gambhir and Sky for promoting him to 4. He scores 43 of 25 and takes down Adil Rashid.
I mean,
completes the job he was sent in to do.
Is everyone not going to go under the radar when you make that many runs? Like, right?
Unless you're England, where Jacob Bethel scores most of the runs.
Yes. That's also fair.
It take Jacob Bethel out and England didn't really play well, did they? Jacob Bethel pulls off a Sanju from the previous game, but doesn't win. Akshu, Spurs fan, better win tonight, man. I've got Xavi Simons in my fantasy team. He says, do we know if the final is being played on red soil or black soil wicket yet? I do not, but Rob Barron keeps an eye on these things.
Yeah. Haven't been told yet. I think, conspiracy theorist in me would say that like India didn't know whether they were in it or not, and we don't know yet. But don't know. Honestly, don't know. If I knew, I would say.
Yep. Deepak might know from the Hindi channel. Ayush asks, could Akshar have unironically gotten the player of the match if he held on to that Bethel catch when he was at 96? That was not a drop, even if Rob Barron convinces you otherwise.
I think morally he would
have. Yeah. Morally
I think
his...
Yeah, we would have given it to him, but...
Yeah.
His catching is in stark contrast to England's catching. The Brook and Banton drops were criminal. They weren't tough chances. Rob Barron would have caught him. Okay, how many do we have left, man? I'm tired. I have another show to do with Saad after this. Sudip Roy says, Virat Kohli is the Johan Cruyff of Indian cricket. Okay, there may be better players, but no one with a more long-lasting impact on the game. I would say Dhoni is the Johan Cruyff, or maybe Ganguly. Yeah,
I'm not giving him Johan Cruyff, because Johan Cruyff did, he kind of changed the way the sport was played, I think. And he also had a trick named after him. Kohli hasn't got a shot named after him yet. He needs to discover one of those. No, not having that. There may be better players. Yeah, maybe. He's had a huge impact on the game. But is Johan Cruyff the footballer that's had the longest lasting impact on the game? Don't know. I get where you're coming from, but Kohli's ridiculously good at cricket, isn't he?
Can someone tell me who that actually is?
Johan Cruyff was a Dutch footballer. Brought in total football, but then later on he inspires Pep Guardiola to go tiki-taka, so there's a lot of impact over there. So Cruyff is a proper legend.
I didn't understand a single thing in that sentence, so let's move on.
What about football, Varun? Don't worry about it.
You're a normie. Yeah. You only care about cricket and not even ODIs. You care about two formats, Varun.
No. Yes.
Anyway, Vibhor Seth, I was waiting for your super chat. You're always in the mix. The worst thing about the World Cup ending is no more Combox after the games. Love you guys. Please do this for the IPL. Also, Rob Barron has a full-time fan in me. A full-time fan in all of us. Rob Barron is entertaining throughout. You should watch the WhatsApp group. It's always some fun stuff going on over there. He can also take a joke. That's good about him. Imagine if Rob couldn't take a joke, he'd always be fighting with us because we slander him all the time.
Yeah, when you look like this, you have to be able to take a joke.
You mean like a hot piece of mess? Anyway. Soham Chatterjee says, Hardik and Akshar were not there in 19-11-2023. Well, India got gulbist on 19-11-2023. We all know that. Aish Idiot with another super chat says, by the way, huge fan of Rob. He's funny as hell. Agreed.
Thank you.
Rohit Kumar Jha says, no comparison between India and New Zealand in sports. We are still mostly a one-sports nation, sadly. Hurts me a lot. I genuinely hope we get rugby coaches from New Zealand and football coaches from England for IPL contracts. Yes, you could say sporting culture in New Zealand, just from a professionalism perspective, is quite high. India have cricket sorted. Cricket is professionalized. Everything else might be a step back. But India have, what, 1,000 times the population of New Zealand? Is it?
Yeah, not far off, yeah. 500 times.
How much do they have?
Let's do the math.
Or is it 5 million?
Got to do the math, man. 6 million. Let's put New Zealand at 6 million or 6.5 million. India's at what, 2 billion?
Nearly 1.5 now, isn't it?
Would it not be 200 times? Am I miscalculating?
Just do the math, buddy. I'm tired. Ribu Ganguly sent a super chat. I'm going to start it.
Yeah, I started. That's fine.
There's Ribu's super chat. He says, my uncle says it's fixed because Hardik and Ashdeep swung it a lot more than England bowlers did. Why is he an idiot? Uncles always say this. Whenever Pakistan loses any game, there will be people left, right and center saying that it's fixed because they don't want to acknowledge that Pakistan is just shit now.
I mean, we all know they gave India a ball with a special chip in it, right? I mean, that swings more.
And Sanju's bat is made of another material.
I said before the game that as soon as they won the toss, there would definitely be 0-2. I guarantee you there won't be. So what India did is they got everybody in the ground, they gave a big fan to under their seat. They had one, and they turned it on. So the wind blew away all the potential dew, right, and dried it all out. And then they got the ball reversing. So that was what the ICC did in this game. And anyone that went to the game will have an India-branded fan that they can show us. But they did actually get the ball to reverse. And that wasn't, you know, in over number 14. And that's quite a big deal in T20 cricket. You know, you ask batsmen, if Robbie was here, I'd love to ask him now, like reverse swing is an utter nightmare to face. And they did get it reversing. England didn't at all. England just bowled, you know, bowling machine or computer game easy mode. Just absolute nonsense.
No, what are you talking about?
India clearly, maybe India are more skillful, though.
Clearly what happened was that Sam Curran pissed off some black magic dude when he was in Punjab. And that guy cursed him today. That's why he scored 18 of 14. That's the real story, guys.
Okay.
Anyway.
Cool. Yeah.
Understandable.
Well, chips and balls is also funny. I think... what's that guy's name, man? The player who debuted in Test cricket at 14 years of age. Hasan Raza. I think Hasan Raza said that, right? Anyway. Sean S. Xavier says, Varun was just flat and fast. I like Varun Alvaconda, man. I would describe him with other words. Someone needs to get him to give it some flight more and slow down. Abhishek does a Dhoni from 2011.
No, it's more of a length thing with him. He bowls shorts and filth. Or full infield today. He didn't bowl length and good. So Yeah. Like, he's always fast and flat, though. I don't understand why people are just realizing it now.
Yeah.
He's
also,
not a slow... He's not a float it and put revolutions on a guile bowler, right?
He's a finger flicker who bowls it with a few clicks, right? But make sure to mention Varun C, because Varun A is my red line. You cannot go there. I will come after you. I will find
by the
you.
Way, on the Dhoni thing... On the Dhoni from 2011 thing, did you see Sanju's uppercut six? It looked exactly like Dhoni's one in 2011.
It really did, yeah. You called that at the time. Yeah. Really
by
did.
The way, can we just credit Sanju for the way he picks out that gap between backward point and short third? It's just brilliant, man. Time and again, off the front foot, off the back foot, he pierces that gap like a surgeon.
Can we also give England credit for bowling wide to one of the best offside players in the world?
Over and over again.
Yep, not in the body. Make God. Bowl him at the body, back of a length, make him mistime that heave that he plays. But no. What do we know, guys? Anyway.
It was Sanju's like, hi, everyone. My favorite thing is the cover drive, right? I love it if you bowl wide outside off. That's what I love the best. And England went, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll bowl there every single ball. And then he started hitting every single ball for four and six that they bowled there. And England were like, do you want another one? He's like, yeah, I'll have another one, please. Sure, over and over again. Anyway. There's only a World Cup semi-final, never mind.
Prakar Gupta says Varun is mentally done. That I can agree with. Varun is mentally toast.
A bless to both of us, yes.
This Varun,
agreed.
Yeah.
All on board with this one. His bowling has been found out and he has no answers. He has no fight in him and when things aren't going his way. Guys, I don't think we need to continue.
I don't
to
believe in
these.
The whole fight in him
let's
thing.
Let's just
see how he gets on in the final.
Yeah, I've had enough Varun super chats. info_no_it says New Zealand have poor death bowling. India win on a flat deck. New Zealand are great in the power play though. Matt Henry is probably the most criminally underrated new ball bowler. If he gets power play wickets, India could be on the back foot. That's New Zealand's best chance, along with Finn Allen doing well with the bat, and if they drop Jimmy Neesham. Damn, we
see,
just previewed
the
final.
Matt Henry is one of the, what do you call it, the most like what do you call it, consistent new bowlers you'll ever see. If he starts bowling wide to Sanju Samson, I will join the fixed thing. Like, that has to be rubbish at that point, right?
Yeah. Anyway, we've got just a few super chats left. Sohum Chatterjee says actually. On the Cruyff thing, 18.5 MCG is the Kohli shot. That is the Kohli shot.
Fair enough. What a shot that was.
Yeah, no, 100%.
More like a bloody Andre Agassi shot that was.
Yeah, that was fucking insane. Anyway, are we done, Varun? Are we actually
done, bro?
Damn.
We are done.
So anyway.
End this before we get another one.
Thank you so much, everyone, for all of your interactions and your umpteen super chats that we have finally managed to answer. They do matter a lot. And once again, congratulations to all Indian viewers and listeners. This was a big win. Commiserations to the English fans as well. We will be back probably for a preview show at some point, even though we did just preview the final over here. Told you what New Zealand need. Anyway, we still might do one. You can come there, come join us on Combox for that. And that's pretty much it. Just follow Combox everywhere. Like, share and subscribe. And follow us everywhere as well. We'll see you soon enough on another one of these lives. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the T20 World Cup final that's about to come. India versus New Zealand at the Narendra Modi Stadium in Ahmedabad. Till then, we shall, take off. Ask for your leave. And that's it. Have a good one. Enjoy yourselves. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.